If you will, please turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We are concluding this morning a series that was begun several weeks ago on the beauty of our salvation. If you were to line all the composers, the great composers of history up, who would be your favorites? I think mine would be Handel. The reason Handel would be mine, though he wrote many great works, is I love the Handel's Messiah. I'm excited that we're going to sing it come Easter. And if you were to consider the highlight of Handel's Messiah, surely we would agree that it's the Alleluia Chorus, right? In one sense, this Romans 8 is the Alleluia Chorus, and we have come to the final exclamation of the truth of the gospel that binds us together. Christ loves His people. We are more than conquerors in Christ who loves us. Let us consider God's Word together. And let us remember that God's truths are intended to be made our truths. God's infallible truth is sufficient for our lives. The Word of God to you this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Pray again. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we ask that You would speak it to our hearts by Your Spirit and apply it to our lives that we might know the truth of the love of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember the first time that I went mountain climbing and rappelling. I was taking a church group, and we were to climb a rock face that was probably about 120 feet high. On one place, we were climbing up the rock, and then on an adjacent rock face, we would, after we had climbed the rock wall, we would rappel down. It was a steeper grade, and we would rappel. You know, they hook you into this rope to make sure you don't fall and to help you. And I felt pretty comfortable with that on the way up because I had pretty much control. I was able to control. I didn't slip or anything. I was able to make it to the top. But once I had made it to the top, there was a guy there belaying. He wanted to hook my carabiner into the rope and wanted me just to ease back off the side of the mountain there. You know, just sit back up. The rope will support you. Now, I had been in line for a little bit, and I'd seen several people go, and so I was sure that rope had some capacity of weight that it could hold. The problem was, all those who had gone before me were about half my weight. And the guy who was to belay me, he was about 120 pounds himself, and I was a little concerned about that. And so I said, "Are you sure this rope will hold me?" He said, "Wade, this rope will hold you and 10 others. It'll hold 10 times your weight." Now, you know that's almost a ton. Are you sure this rope will hold a ton? That's exactly right, Wade. This rope will hold a ton. All you got to do is just ease back off the face. Just drop your bottom and push out with your feet, and then you can go. And so I began to ease up. Come on, Wade, a little more. And I'd ease a little more. Come on, Wade, push it on out there. I'd ease a little more. And then finally, the rope had me. First time I went off that face, it was like a bounce every 2 inches. You know, doop, doop. But as I learned that the rope really had me, that the rope would hold me, the next time down, I was hot-dogging it, baby. I was ready, off that face, jumping out. Held by this rope, holding me. You know, that's what the love of Christ is for the believer. The strong cord of the love of God holds us fast, gives us confidence, strengthens us in life. Do you have confidence in the love of Christ for you this morning? Some of you are like me, aren't you? It's hard to trust. You know, when a friend hurts you or has lied to you and they come and confess their sin and you make it better, the next time it's still just a little hard to trust them, isn't it? It's hard to trust their word. Or your spouse, your partner, they have been unfaithful in some way and confessed that and you've worked through it, but still the next time it's hard to trust their word. It's true that way for us as God as well, though it's rather perceived more than real, our view of God, because He has us, He has us, He has us. Sometimes we perceive that maybe God doesn't love us. Or maybe we struggle because our expectations haven't been met by God and we question His love. But Paul comes to us this morning and he affirms the love of Christ. And nothing shall separate the believer from the love of Christ. The love of Christ is sure. We need to be constantly reminded of the love of Christ. Now you might say, well, sermon on the love of Christ. I'll tell you, actually, the love of God is one of the hardest things to preach on. You know why? Because in our day and age, there are many who are here who think, God, you should just be happy that I'm here. Of course God loves me. He should love me. He should be pleased that I'm here this morning. But you know, that's not what Scripture teaches, right? God loves us not because we are lovable. God loves us even though we're unlovely, unlovable. We should be remarkably amazed at the love of God for us, at the love of Christ to us. It should amaze the socks off of us. But some of us, maybe we're on the other end of the spectrum. We have a hard time with the love of God sermons or the love of Christ sermon because we have such a struggle seeing it. Such a struggle seeing how Christ loves us in day-to-day life. And yet the apostle comes and he asserts that for the believer, God's love is sure. The love of Christ is unfailing. You cannot be separated from the love of Christ. It's a remarkable truth that we want to try to plumb the depths as Paul teaches us this morning, but this would be our central note. Our central note is that the believer is sustained in all of life by the strong cord of the love of Christ. It is Christ who holds us and loves us and sees us through. In our text, I want you to see three things this morning. First, I want you to see our circumstances cannot threaten the love of Christ. Our circumstances cannot threaten the love of Christ. Go back to verse 35 then. Paul asks a question. If you were here last week, you got the first three questions. Here's the fourth question in the line of Paul's questions for us. And what he comes to is the circumstances that might challenge our opinion of God's love. And what he reminds us of is even when our heart doesn't feel it, if we were in Christ, we are loved. Who shall separate us? Maybe even better translated, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? Kind of the sevenfold indictment of those things that would press against us to make us question the love of Christ. And yet, what does he assert? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Christ does love us, even through things like distress and tribulation and persecution and nakedness and famine and the sword. Those things do not end Christ's love. He loves us through them. I want you to see in the text here that what we are being shown is that our circumstances do not threaten the love of Christ to us. The circumstances of your life will never threaten what God has assured. Christ has won the victory in the cross, and He has placed His love upon His people, and He will love them to the end, even when there is hardship. Notice some of the words here. These are some of the difficult transitions and tribulations of life. First, we shall not be separated from the love of Christ by tribulation. That word there, if we were to literally translate it from the Greek, would be like being pressed down upon. It's a word that carries the idea of an extreme pressure from the outside being pressed upon someone. Pressures from the outside will not separate us from the love of Christ. Neither will distress. The idea of that word there, distress, is like being caught in a narrow hallway or a narrow pathway. Have you ever been caught kind of crammed in, claustrophobic a little bit, pressed into a narrow pass? That's the idea here of the word distress. It's actually a word that speaks of the pressure, not from the outside in, but the word of pressure from the inside out. That will not separate us from the love of Christ. Persecution. When others assail us and want to do harm to us, that will not separate us from the love of Christ. Famine, to be without food, will not separate you from the love of Christ. Clothing, to be without clothing, will not separate you from the love of Christ. Even trouble, when the peril of the day presses in upon you, the Bible here is saying it will not separate you from the love of Christ. Nor sword. The idea of the sword here is of the assassin's dagger, the threat of death. Even when the threat of death is upon you, you will not be separated from the love of Christ. It's an amazing statement, isn't it? God holds us even through every and varying challenges of the life. Now, I want you to look at that list again. I've just given you the sevenfold. Do you know anybody in Scripture who's experienced all of these? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword. Anybody come to mind for you? Who's illustrating from life here? Paul is illustrating from his life. What is he telling us? As he questions what will separate us from the love of Christ, he goes through the catalogs of the tough things he has dealt with in life. And what does he say? Yes, life is hard. I know the struggles of life, but I know the love of Christ all the more. I know the love of Christ all the more. This shall not separate us from the love of Christ. From personal experience, Paul knows the love of Christ. He will not be separated, even in the challenges of life. But if that's not enough, he goes to the larger timeline of history. Not only does Paul's life prove that you won't be separated from the love of Christ, he begins to quote the Psalm 44 there. Did you notice the Psalm that probably indented in your Bible there? For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's taken from a psalm that's really about the godly who are struggling under the hard hand of God, asking God, how long, when will you free us? But God, we will hold fast. Even if you slay us, even if you strike us, we will hold fast for the name of God. What I want you to see this morning is the hardships, the struggles of life do not separate us from the love of God. Tough circumstances aren't an anomaly in the Christian life. And yet Christ even loves us through them. Though we long for home and health and habitation for the Lord, what Paul is trying to teach us by way of emphasis here is that Christ loves us to the max. And that love is secure. Let me try to illustrate it another way here. This summer I was teaching my two youngest sons to swim. The 2 months before we went to my parents' house, I had told them about the pool and they were all excited about getting in the water, but I was a little afraid of, because you just step outside the door of my parents' house and there's a pool. And so I had warned them about the water, how dangerous the water is. If you go in on your own, you don't know how to swim, it could be disastrous. So it comes time, and I had done a pretty good job, I guess, of striking the fear of God in them about swimming. Because when it came time to teach them to swim, I got in the pool. You know, I was about 4 feet deep in the water, and I said to one of them, "Jump!" That's about 4 or 5 feet from the side. And he wasn't as stupid as I thought he was, you know. And I ain't doing that, Dad, you know. And so I come a little closer. "Jump!" No. A little closer, "Jump." "No." "1 inch. Jump." Right into my hands, right? What was it? He was fearful of the water. I had to be close before he would jump. Now after about an hour, I had moved back out to 4 feet, and he was ready to jump, ready to go. As a matter of fact, I began to turn my back, and boy, he was coming off there, you know. I had to watch every time. What am I trying to drive home here? It might be that in your world it's hard to trust because all you can see is the disasters of the water around you, and it's hard to see God. But this is where my illustration fails. It's the fact that I had to keep coming closer. God is always with you in Christ Jesus. He will not leave you. He will not leave you in the disaster. He promises to be with you. And if He is with you, the love of Christ is with you. He has loved His own to the point of death, and He stays with you. Our circumstances cannot threaten the love of Christ to us. Now, I think for some of us, sometimes the love of Christ, it hits our souls like bullets hitting the chest of Superman. It just bounces off. Why is that? Because sometimes in our experience, we fail to see the truth of God's Word. When you don't feel the love of Christ, don't live in your feelings. Take your feelings to Scripture, to the truth of God's Word. What does it affirm for us? The love of Christ is secure. And circumstances will not threaten Christ's love for us, Paul teaches us here. But he even gets more profound than that. He shows us our reason for confidence. Our circumstances cannot threaten the love of Christ, but I want you to see as we come this morning that in verse 37, our confidence is to be built upon the triumphant love of Christ. See Paul's confidence here. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. What is that statement there? No, we are more than conquerors through Him. Notice the confidence that Paul has in the love of Christ. So confident he can proclaim that he is a conqueror with Christ. Christ has conquered at the cross. Christ has conquered in the resurrection. And Christ is unconquerable. His kingdom will go on, and that which He has, He gives to His children. So we are presently, not just future, presently, we are more than conquerors. Now, that's a pretty profound statement, isn't it? Do you feel like a victor this morning? This is not some feel-good pop psychology mindset for us. No, this is the bedrock biblical truth. We are more than conquerors, present reality for the believer. He has triumphed. Thus, we are triumphant. Notice it's in the present tense there. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. What is our confidence? What is our security? It's that Christ here and now holds us. That is our unflinching resolve. That's what holds our courage. That provides our confidence. We are more than conquerors. It's present, not just future. But it's eternal, not just present. I want you to see in the text, notice here, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You know, all great kingdoms of the world got there in some way by conquering, right? But the kingdoms of the world continue to be overthrown. There is no timeless kingdom upon earth. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Kingdoms conquer and kingdoms are conquered. But notice this. What does the text tell us about Christ's kingdom? No, Christ, His kingdom is unconquerable. So if we are in His kingdom, we are unconquerable. You see, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. This is what provides our confidence. Even though the enemy of our soul and the enemy of our Savior Christ Jesus continues to assail us, He will never retreat until He is fully defeated. He will give us no reprieve in this life from struggle. Still, we are more than conquerors. Presently and eternally, we are more than conquerors as we rest in Christ Jesus. As we see that His love, the Savior's love for us, is unchanging and unchangeable, we are spurred on to faithfulness. We are called to faithfulness. This is the confidence that gives faithfulness to the walk of the believer. Young chaplain, during war, was placed upon a ship, the USS Dorchester. As he went out to sea during a wartime, he and his father corresponded as frequently as they could. The father wrote a letter to his son, and he said, "Son, I pray every day that God will bring you home." The young chaplain wrote back to his father, and he said, "Father, please stop praying that prayer. Instead of praying that God would bring me home safely, would you pray this? Would you pray that God would keep me faithful in every circumstance?" The USS Dorchester was hit and sunk by a German U-boat. those who were there, those survivors, said that the young chaplain had a life vest. But instead of taking the life vest for himself, he gave it to another, decided that he would go down with the ship so another man might be saved. Why? Because he knew the battle was won. His confidence was in another place. It was the confidence of the love of Christ that kept him faithful. It's the confidence in the love of Christ that keeps us faithful this day. I want you to see the beauty of Paul's words to us, the beauty of Scripture, that the love of Christ is meaningful. It has present reality. It has eternal effect because Christ promises to love us, and that love is ongoing, and that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying here that there are not people who struggle. We struggle. Believers struggle as others struggle in life. But still, when we struggle, we need to take that heart of struggle to the truth and realize what God has declared. The believer is more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I want you to see that confidence gives way to confession here for Paul. See not only our confidence in the triumphant love of Christ, but thirdly, I want you to see our confession magnifies the true love of Christ. Notice in verse 38 and 39 here, we get Paul asserting in a very grand way how sure the love of Christ is. How there will be no separation. Notice in verse 38, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." It's a confession of conviction for Paul here. As a matter of fact, notice the first pronoun there in verse 38. "For I am sure." What is Paul saying? I am sure. I am convinced. I am persuaded. What is he persuaded of? He is persuaded that there is no separation between him and the love of God, and there's nothing natural, supernatural, nothing in the world, nothing in the universe, nothing in the heavens that can separate him from the love of Christ. It's a very personal testimony for Paul. It is his conviction. It is a confession of conviction. Notice there, I am sure. You know, it's the first time Paul has used the first person pronoun since verse 18. He's been laying his theology of why we are secure, our assurance in Christ. But where does he end? He ends with testimony, his conviction. I am sure. Nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. What shall separate me? Verse 39. Nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. It's a testimony of conviction, a confession of conviction, but it's also a confession of capability. Notice there in verse 39, "Nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus." Notice the idea there is nothing can separate me. So what does that mean that God is able to do? God is able to hold, to see us through, to hold us now. God is able to love our souls to the very end. You know, this is a mirrorism, a picture of great extent. You all know what a mirrorism is? It's the idea of from greatest to least, from least to greatest, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Let me illustrate it this way. You know, in a marriage vow, when you take a marriage vow, I always prefer for couples to do a traditional marriage vow, because when couples write their own marriage vows, they're usually a love poem. And the beauty of marriage vows is that what you're committing to is stated in a marriage vow. What do you commit to in a marriage vow? Right? You will love each other in what? In sickness and in health. For better, for worse. For richer, for poor. That's the expanse of the human condition, right? No matter what, you're committing to love this person for life. Notice what God's done. He is committed to love us for life. For those who are in Christ Jesus, He is committed. Heights and depths will not separate us from the love of Christ. That's an astronomical term there. For the apex of the stars, we cannot be separated from the love of Christ. Death shall not separate you from the love of Christ. Why? Death merely ushers you in to the fullness of the love of Christ. life. It might seem strange that he would say life would separate you from the love of Christ. But if you ever sat with someone who's gone through extended sickness and struggle, life can be hard. Even life and the toughness of life will not separate you from the love of Christ. The idea of principalities or angels in your text there, that's the idea of good angels and bad angels. Hypothetically, a good angel will not separate you from the love of Christ. The demons themselves cannot separate you from the love of Christ. God is able to hold us in the love of Christ. I want you to see that because there is our confession based upon the confidence of Christ. Our confidence, Jesus loves me. First theology lesson of life in many ways, isn't it? You know, when Cara Beth was born 13 days ago now, when she was born, you know, the first song I sang to her? She doesn't wince when I sing like you do, by the way. Maybe she just doesn't understand yet, but she hadn't started wincing yet. And so I sang to her, you know, the first theology lesson I gave to Cara Beth. Because as a covenant child, claiming the promises of God to me and to my children and my children after, what do I want her to know? I want her to know the love of God. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, I walked out and done some things for my wife. I came back into the room. Marion was singing to Cara Beth. You know what she was singing to Cara Beth? She sang a lot of songs, but the one I heard, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's the profoundness of this text. It may be a little more flowery in its words, but it's that simple and that profound. Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? The Word of God tells me so. Christ has promised so. The love of Christ is secure for the believer. It is that which covers a magnitude of fears. It is that which bolsters the sincere heart of devotion. And so I want you to see this morning that believers, as a believer, if you are in Christ, and if you're not in Christ, this is what you miss. You miss the love of Christ. Come in faith to Him. But if you are a believer, here is your birthright, that you are loved by a Savior, and Christ's love is unfailing for His own. So what does that mean for us? Three things I want you to see that it means for us this morning. First, I want you to see that means that we need not walk in insecurity. Why? Because the love of Christ is always present. The love of Christ is always present to the believer. Who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul comes back in verse 39 and his resounding answer is what? Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. You see, Jesus is personally with us. That assures God's love to us. He loves us. As a matter of fact, we fear no separation. Why? Because Jesus took separation. The heights of Romans 8, from no condemnation, 8:1, to no separation, 8:39, secured in Christ. All you have to do is go back to Luke chapter 27. Do that later. Go back to Luke chapter 27 and read the passion narrative there. Jesus upon the cross, what does He say? My God, what? Why have You forsaken Me? You want to know what the hardest part of the cross was? It wasn't the pain that men inflicted upon the Savior. It was the distance that existed between Christ and His Heavenly Father, a distance that had never been known. He bore separation so that we would not have to. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. He is assured that nothing, nothing, nothing will separate you if you are in Christ Jesus from the love of Christ. Now, I know there are times that many of us, it's common in the Christian experience as I speak to Christians, times where you feel alone. Do you ever feel alone? I know that it's a common occurrence. I feel alone at times. And I get to work in God's Word all day. If you gave me an opportunity to be the President of the United States, I wouldn't take it. I don't want a demotion. I have the opportunity to work with the truths of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And still there are times when I feel aloneness nagging my heart. What do you do? Take your heart to the Word. Take your heart to the truth. Take your feeling to the truth, because what is the Word of God? No, He has the answer. He has given the answer to our loneliness, our struggle. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Let the truth lead when aloneness seeks to assert itself. I want you to see the love of Christ is always present. But secondly, I want you to see by way of application here that the love of Christ is good medicine when life is tough. The love of Christ is good medicine when your life is tough. There will be struggles this week. There may be big struggles on the horizon. There may be hardship before you. But I want you to see that the love of Christ is good medicine in those hard times. Why? Because, you see, Paul is not asserting here that being a Christian means God will eliminate our hardship, right? No, what he's telling us is that in Christ, though it doesn't eliminate our hardship, what God does, what the love of Christ does, is help us to translate life, to translate hardships, so that we can measure our lives by God's Word. Believers and unbelievers get cancer. I've known good believers. Believers and unbelievers struggle with depression. Believers and unbelievers struggle with defeated expectations in life. But what helps us translate those tough times is the love of Christ is secure for us. Even when hardship comes, even when expectations are dashed, even when emotions rage, the love of Christ is secure for those who are in Christ Jesus. I would say it this way. God is a sculptor at working with us. He's a sculptor at working with a block of granite. And what He does is He takes the chisel of hardship and He breaks away so that He can shape our lives, forge our character, develop our being, so that we might know more and more of the love of Christ. God uses hardship to grow us in an understanding of that love. You know, in your worship folder, page 9, we sang as a hymn of preparation, O love that will not let me go. Verse 1, O love that will not let me go, I will rest my weary soul in Thee. I give Thee back the life I owe, that in Thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Very interesting. That hymn was written in 1882. By a man named George Matheson. He was a famous preacher of his day. He preached to about 2,000 every Sunday. He was born in Glasgow, Scotland. He was a scholar, taught at the University of Glasgow, taught in the seminary there, preached. But most of his life, as a matter of fact, all of his youth, he only had partial sight. And in his late teens, he went totally blind. Never married. Matter of fact, that was the tragedy out of which he wrote this song at the age of 40. Born in 1842, wrote it in 1882, wrote it out of the tragedy of not being married. But at one point, he was engaged. In his late teens, he was engaged to a young lady. He went to the doctor, and the doctor told him that it would not be much longer, that his sight would be gone soon. He came home, he told the young lady before they got married that he was losing his sight, and she left. All he had to hold on to his days was the love of Christ. O love that will not let me go. That was what held Matheson in the tough times. That's what will hold us in the tough times. So that I want you to see this morning that our ultimate satisfaction can be nothing less than the love of Christ for us. It is He who loves us, He who holds us, He who strengthens us. Find solace in that truth. Remember that there is a God who loved us enough to give His very Son. Receive that, experience it, and live in it for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your gift and Your truth of love. And we ask, O Father, that You would apply Your love to our hearts, that we might bask in that truth. Realize it, understand it, and appropriate it. Oh, thank You, God, for Your love. Thank You for the Savior. Thank you that as believers who trust in Christ, we need to know no separation. Praise be to you, our God. In Jesus' name, amen.